In Congo today, 31-year-old Joseph Kabila was sworn in as the country's new president 10 days after his father was shot and killed by a bodyguard. Laurent Kabila led Congo for 3.5 turbulent years and left the country's economy in ruins. Millions are living in poverty. Nearly 2 million others have been displaced by a civil war that has split Congo in half, with the western region controlled by rebels supported by Rwanda and Uganda. NPR's Kenneth Walker reports from Kinshasa there are serious doubts over the ability of the younger Kabila to deal with the mess he has inherited from his father.
Joseph Kabila was virtually unknown in Kinshasa until his father was gunned down earlier this month by one of his bodyguards. The younger Kabila was raised in Tanzania, while his father led a guerrilla campaign against longtime dictator Mobutu Sese Seko. The younger Kabila speaks English and Swahili, but he is not fluent in either of Congo's national languages, Lingala and French. And there is another strike against him. It's widely believed in Kinshasa that Joseph Kabila's mother is a Tutsi, a tribe that's widely reviled in the capital and other parts of western Congo. Joseph Kabila has also come under fire for the way he acceded to the presidency, in effect, inheriting the office from his father. A complaint heard often in the streets here now is that Congo is not a monarchy. Joseph Zola Kampaka is the Secretary General of the Union of Independent Democrats.
Nous ne pouvons rien dire. Il y a que ceux qui l'ont choisi, ceux qui l'ont mis là-bas, qui le connaissent très bien.
There is nothing we can say about him. We did not choose him. Those who have elected him are the ones who know who he is. So we know nothing about him.
Even before he was sworn into office, Joseph Kabila took one decision clearly aimed at winning some support. He ordered the immediate payment of salaries for civil servants and soldiers, many of whom had received no pay in 6 months. But most people here agree it will take more than fancy bureaucratic footwork for Kabila to survive. The atmosphere of fear and uncertainty was clearly evident at a meeting of Kinshasa's English Language Club. The young professionals who attend the weekly meetings are trying to enhance their language skills in hopes of finding homes and employment outside Congo. Law school graduate Joseph Wamba foresees nothing but chaos and violence here in the months to come.
It's likely that we'll be facing another sudden action, a revolution or a terrible riot from civilians will lead us to a horrifying revolution.
Clearly, the most daunting task facing Joseph Kabila is bringing an end to the 3-year civil war that has divided Congo into a patchwork of fiefdoms, drawing in the armies of 6 African states. The new president's aides have said he will seek a peaceful resolution of the conflict. A meeting of envoys from all sides is expected to take place at the United Nations next month. And there is talk of a summit conference, but Kabila's military allies, Zimbabwe, Angola, and Namibia, have all dispatched troop reinforcements to Congo over the past 2 weeks, and Kinshasa government officials say the new president will redouble the effort to expel what are known here as foreign aggressors, the Rwandan and Ugandan troops that are backing the main rebel movements in northern and eastern Congo. That is a popular position among residents of the capital, where nationalistic and anti-foreigner sentiments are on the rise. John Joseph Mukende is an advisor to one of Congo's leading opposition politicians. He doesn't see a military solution to the conflict, but he does believe the foreign forces must leave.
Nous sommes frustrés par l'occupation du territoire par les troupes étrangères.
Every Congolese is frustrated when seeing that the country is occupied by foreign troops. So we believe that the only way to stop this war is to go into inter-Congolese dialogue, which can send all the foreign troops away.
For most foreign analysts, the slain president, Laurent Kabila, was the prime obstacle to peace. He blocked the implementation of an accord signed nearly 2 years ago and obstructed the deployment of a UN observer force. Congolese analysts see little reason for optimism. Opposition advisor Mukende and others here say Kabila's death and his son's accession will make little difference. The situation has not changed, says Mukende, and the people are still suffering. Kenneth Walker, NPR News, Kinshasa.